The following is brought to you by the Starfleet Podcast Network, SPN, The Spin. Okay, so Dag, I was 42 when we started doing this. You just made me feel older than I already feel.
Jay, you're not older, you're bolder.
I like that.
I'm going to use that. You're not older, you're bolder.
What a red alert.
By the way, I'm Big Jay, my co-host Dag. Here's our guest, Heather. Thank you for coming on with us. Okay, so Dag, I was 42 when we started doing this. You just made me feel older than I already feel.
Jay, you're not older, you're bolder.
I like that.
I'm going to use that. You're not older, you're bolder.
Heather, works doubly if you're in Colorado.
Yes, I bet it does. What was the ornament that you sent? Do you remember?
Yeah, every year I paint a series of ornaments, and I send most of them to like family and friends nearby. But I don't remember, like, one year, Heather, you and I had a really cool like engagement on Twitter, and I was just like, that'd be cool to send her an ornament. Am I doing the pronouns right?
Yeah, you can use they, she. I mean, I default to they, but she is okay because I was, you know, raised and socialized as a woman, and still, I know that the non-binary woman confuses a lot of people. But yeah,
my husband is NBA fab. So yeah, but yeah, it was just a little, I think it was a 2020 ornament year, mm-hmm. A little bit of a red and maybe red and green or red and blue with a Star Trek logo on it.
I have a couple Star Trek ornaments. I think I know where they are. Okay. Everyone should have an ornament.
We should do an ornament spotlight next December.
Oh, yes. I could go for that.
Well, and in most cases, so I did not pay attention this year, but in the past, I have always kind of waited until after Christmas. And the majority of the time, the Star Trek ornaments all go on sale. So they will progressively go down. It'll be like, I don't know, 35% off, 50% off, 75% off.
Wow.
And if you are lucky, like some of like the main ones don't always make it, but it just depends on like where you live. And also if they pop up online. And I should have checked online, and I just didn't this year because they had like the green hand holding the Enterprise from TOS. And I wanted that one. And I don't know. I'll have to check because it's now almost the end of, I guess, mid-January.
Yep.
So I don't know. But I always say wait and try to save. Like if it's not something you have to have, then you might find it at a great deal.
I am not affiliated with the website I'm about to share, but I discovered it and I'm in love with it. It's a place, it's shopgoodwill.com. It's basically like eBay for Goodwill finds, but you will find entire lots of Star Trek ornaments, like 50 of them going for $40.
Wow.
Yep.
You can do your whole tree for less than a pair of shoes.
Wow.
Or you can go to a Star Trek convention and pay, you know, overpriced prices.
Absolutely. Yeah, the same ornament would cost $15 on a convention floor.
See, yep. That's what I discovered about my Defiant micro machine.
Ooh.
Oh, nice.
I thought I had one of these, and it turns out I either didn't or I lost it. So I went on eBay to find it. These guys are going for $40 to $60.
Get out of here.
Wow.
So I went on Shop Goodwill for $15. I was so mad.
Are you serious? Wow. I mean, sure, the Defiant is awesome and all that, and having it as a micro machine, but at that price, people are crazy. That's just wild. Ridiculous. Yeah,
I had some of those with my Fans Give Back project where I did a few things with that, but one of the things I did was reach out to the community and say, if you have Star Trek merchandise that you don't want or don't have space for and are willing to part with it to send to people who don't have access to that kind of stuff, then please send it to me. And so I got some of those micro machines, and I'm pretty sure I sent them out to somebody. I had no clue. Like the Star Trek community is a beautiful, wonderful, generous community. And I was always astounded by the things that people sent. And everything just went to some fan who, there are lots of fans overseas in other countries who just don't have access to any kind of Star Trek merchandise at all. And then Star Trek stuff is not cheap. I say this with like a wall full of Star Trek nerd stuff behind me. And I've been very blessed and fortunate to, you know, afford my Star Trek lifestyle at times. But it's not, it's definitely difficult for a lot of people. And so being able to like send that stuff out was very, very awesome. And right now I went through a life change. And all of my Fans Give Back inventory, what was left, went to a friend over at the Nerd Trek podcast. And he had started listing stuff on eBay with the all the sales going to Hollywood Food Coalition, and also at the time the Entertainment Community Fund, because he started that like during the strikes. So basically just trying to go to like different nonprofits and support that way. Because unfortunately, with my life situation now, I'm just not able to A, store everything, and B, afford to send it all out. But it's mostly the storage situation, sadly. But yeah, I always like to remind people, like as we sit here and enjoy whatever little Star Trek doodad we have on our desk, that so many people don't have access to that kind of stuff. And when you can, like, pay it forward.
I wish I would have had some of my Star Trek stuff sitting on my desk right now to show you guys. And yeah. if I was smart, because you mentioned the Hollywood Food Coalition, which we're going to talk about today. If I were a smart person, I would have seen if we could have got John Billingsley back on here. We talked to him about that. Was it a year or two ago, Dag? Do you remember when that was?
That was, gosh, I think that was, honestly, that was like 4 years ago. That was like December 2019 we had him on.
Wow.
No.
Great story, that one.
Like, well, we've done Trek Talks is on the third year. So last year and then the year before was for Trek Talks. But John has been a champion for Hollywood Food Coalition for many, many, many years.
That's how we landed the interview.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I guarantee you he will come back on your show. He was just about every podcast I could think of trying to promote the Trek Talks telethon. That man was hard at work, but he is very wonderful and very generous with his time, and funny, and just a great person. So I'm sure he will come back.
I've done three shows with John. So there's the one we did for BTP. There was one we did before Biden was elected.
Okay.
And then there was another one where we talked about.
I remember the Hollywood Food Coalition one and the LA recall.
That might have been what it was. LA recall.
So were there two? I thought there were two. If there was a third one floating around in there.
Well, so I got invited to do one with another organization.
Oh.
And so, yeah, that was the election year, the October before Biden got elected. So
all the time, just kind of like, we have no concept of time anymore. It's just gone. Yeah.
We don't go outside enough to look at the sun moon cycle and get that vitamin D. So.
Outside?
No, I do. I work every day. I am very fortunate that I do get to go outside. I walk dogs for a living. I'm a professional pet sitter and dog walker. And so I'm very, very blessed that I get to get exercise and be outside, except when it's like downpour raining in Florida. That's the worst. But I work pretty much every day. So all the days just...
They all blend together.
I have no idea what day it is. Yep.
That explains the guns that you were sharing earlier.
Oh. Get your tickets.
Those dogs on leashes.
Get your tickets to the gun show.
That comes in handy. That's just me deciding at some point I like to throw heavy things around, and exercise is very good for my mental health. I've talked about mental health in some of the podcasts I've been on before in the many years I've been podcasting. So it is something that helps me feel better and teaches me that I am strong. And yes, it does help when I have to walk like a 100-pound lab or Great Dane or Newfoundland or something like that.
Tell us about the telethon. Yeah.
Oh, the telethon was amazing. It was amazing. So this was, again, the third year that Trek Talks has been going on. And I will throw out, it's trektalks.net is the website to find out information throughout the year. And it was basically created by Bill Smith and Dan Davidson over at the Trek Geeks podcast alongside John Billingsley. But Bill and Dan wanted to do some kind of telethon for quite some time, and it all just happened to work out with John and raising money for the Hollywood Food Coalition. So I did not get to participate the first or second year, and Trektivism, which is, I'm now one of the co-hosts of the new Trektivism podcast. Trektivism was kind of born within Trek Talks because it's basically what they're fundraising. You know, it's a type of activism to fundraise for nonprofits, for people in need. The Hollywood Food Coalition helps feed the homeless of LA and also does assist with providing like different like toiletries, just things that people need to survive type of thing. I don't recall that they do housing right now, but it's very largely food. Community food drive, sack lunches, stuff like that. And this most recent telethon, so every year we get together, we get a lot of Star Trek actors, creatives, so producers. We had some writers come on. We've had three Trektivism panels now. And we have raised in the last 3 years, so this year it was... we're at just over $109,000.
Whoa, that's awesome.
Yeah, the last 3 years, it has been, I think we're around $350,000 for the Hollywood Food Coalition. And I would be remiss if I did not mention that Eugene Roddenberry, Rod Roddenberry, known to many, Gene Roddenberry's son, and the Roddenberry Foundation have always donated to match. Like once we get to 50,000, they are so generous to match that $50,000 donation, and that always pushes us over the $100,000 mark. And so he did it again this year.
This year we
have raised, it has been the most successful year, and we plan to continue. I was just really fortunate that because of the Trektivism podcast, and I think the Trektivism was just something that I really wanted to be a part of, because in my own way, I've been trying to pay it forward for so long, because I went through really rough times and the Star Trek community stepped up for me and literally saved my life. So you can't pay that kind of stuff back, but you can pay it forward. And so my work with Fans Give Back, I kind of got pulled in by my podcast co-host, Matthew Simone, because he was leading the Trektivism panels. And he asked me to be on a panel back at the official Star Trek convention, Mission Chicago, which I'm just laughing because those have kind of, there was only one official, and you know, with Reed Pop. So only one Mission Chicago, but we had our first panel there. And so I kind of just got roped into the family and got to participate this year and kind of help design the panels and what we were going to talk about. And then I got to plan our Trektivism panel and think about really cool people to reach out to that, you know, have some type of community that brings people together. Because for Matthew and I with the Trektivism podcast, yes, it's really cool to interview celebrities about the things that they do, but they already have a platform. People like me with Fans Give Back, or people like Matthew with his nonprofit, Esther's Echo, don't have that same kind of platform. I used to on Twitter, I don't anymore. So to me, people out there that are just, you know, doing the work to get us to that Star Trek future, they deserve to have that platform too. And so we're really big about reaching out to people like us who are not celebrities to boost the signal for them.
Well, it's tough when you're not a celebrity.
It's a community.
Oh, sorry, Dad. What was that?
Oh, I was just saying that we absolutely have to come together as a community if we want to like raise each other up.
And yes. I think that's, I've seen it go two different ways. There are certainly part of the fandom that wants to support what others do. And then there can be others that kind of stick their nose up in it. Did you find or see or hear any kind of opposition to doing something like this from anywhere else in the fandom?
No, and I would hope that never happens, because that just to me is so anti-Star Trek. I mean, Star Trek is a TV show, so it's not reality. It's not the life that we're living in now, but it is for many of us, you know, a goal to get to. And we may not replicate Star Trek exactly, but I think we all want to live in a world where we're accepted for who we are. Everyone has a place. You know, there's compassion and empathy for so many people, and we're all really doing our best to help empower one another. So to me, if anybody pushed back against raising money for Hollywood Food Coalition or, you know, doing a podcast where we're trying to amplify the voices of people doing that work, I would just ask why. Like, to me, that's somebody who's hurting and probably needs that community to help them through whatever they're going through. But I've been really fortunate. I've seen the good side of fandom. I've seen the worst side of fandom. But I would hope that even the people that we might say are the worst side of fandom still believe in getting to that Star Trek future and the work that has to be done to get there.
If it's their Star Trek. If.
Yeah.
That's the key thing there is it's got to be their vision of Star Trek, what they think it is and should be. Otherwise, you're going to get the hashtag not my Trek thrown in your face all over. And well, hey, by the way, it's 2024 right now. The Bell Riots are supposed to happen this year. So get your front row seat.
We had Trek the Votes represent on our Trektivism panel. And Trek the Vote is a nonpartisan group, but they are engaging people basically to get out there and vote to help work, you know, be poll workers to get other people to vote, because there are so many people who don't.
We've had Tay on the show a couple of times too.
Great. Tay is wonderful.
Tay Phoenix, right?
Okay. Yep. It's strange times that we live in, but to me, I know that Star Trek as a television show, while it was progressive, it still was made to reach the broadest audience possible. So in that sense, it's going to reach people from all different spectrums of the world with differing opinions. And at some point, the only way to get to where we need to go is to it's not that I don't want to be political, which I feel is where I'm heading with this.
Go down that political highway. Nothing wrong with it.
What I find in my personal life, because in my personal life, I don't just have people who believe the same beliefs that I do, that I'm from Kentucky. I am originally from Kentucky. I'm from a, you know, very different. Well, now I'm in South Florida, so it's actually not that different.
I'm not far from Northern Kentucky.
Okay.
I mean, I'm in Cincinnati, Ohio.
Oh, yeah, so. No. Yeah. I'm from a very small town it's an hour north of Lexington, which to me, I think qualifies more like Northern Kentucky than anything. But, I've got Democrats, I've got Republicans, I have people who don't want to vote. I have it all. And I have found that in my lifetime, both between having conversations with family and friends in person and then having conversations, in quotes, with people online that I don't know at all, that I have much more success not necessarily changing minds, but at least opening minds and having them consider, especially having like a family member who is queer, like having them consider how the way that they vote could affect my life. I have much more success with those conversations in person. I spent a lot of time over the last few years on Twitter trying to have those types of conversations among fans, Star Trek fans. And for me, I struggle believing that that same change can happen on a platform like that. I think it's different when you have a group. And that's why I'm very big on like some of the groups that we amplified in our panel. When you have a smaller group with people that you build relationships with and you build familiarity and trust, it is easier to share those things about our lives and through compassion and empathy, be able to help us understand one another versus, you know, tweeting at somebody for 5 minutes and blocking them in the end because they're just not gonna hear you.
Yeah. Especially the way Twitter is these days, it just isn't the place for that kind of conversation.
Nope. And
it hasn't gotten worse since Elon Musk took it over.
There have been a lot of bans that have been lifted that probably shouldn't have been lifted. Without naming a lot of names, a lot of people have crept back into the forum and have now have a platform with hundreds of thousands, if not millions, of voice of eyeballs and ears. So
that's not a good thing.
No, but I, you know, echoing Heather's sentiments here, like I've had a lot of great conversations just like that in Discord groups where you find people who are like, what would this be like? And you're like, hey, you seem questionable or questioning. Come into my Discord server and meet some more people who also have the same questions and maybe have different answers. And let's just learn how to be people again first.
Yeah.
And stop ascribing to things that people tell us we should be.
Yeah. And not to like plug. So I, outside of the Trektivism podcast, which just launched, there's just episode zero on the website right now. I'm also a guest host for Mission Log, their live show that covers Strange New Worlds. And so being a co-host of that show, I got added to their Discord group. And that has become my safe space. And we are a group of people with all kinds of beliefs and perspectives. There are varying political spectrums, and yet we still come together. We have disagreements. It is a moderated community. I think that having moderation in any of these groups is important because otherwise things can go a little too far and people can truly hurt one another. But I've seen the change. I've seen change in people just getting to know, like, oh, there's, you know, queer and lesbian people in your group. There are people of color, so you're hearing their perspectives. And having, you know, having multiple people have that discussion also helps so that you're not like the lone person.
Right.
Like getting piled on Twitter because you've said, you know, something. Having
spread that the backlash.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's not, you know, nobody wants a pile on. Pile ons are not fun. Pile ons don't, you know, it's such a mess. And I really do believe at this point, I've been off Twitter for quite some time. I did go back and I tried to have a very small personal account and it just wasn't a safe place for me. And my relationship to that kind of social media has changed. Even with just, again, that stuff I was reading, I would go on and find stuff very triggering or, you know, see my own friends going at each other. I that's so negative. I don't want to be there for that. And it's really sad because the Twitter community used to be an important part of my life and a place that felt like home.
Yeah.
And I do miss, I miss a lot of the people there. But I just feel like that form of social media has been so disruptive to how we communicate as human beings, because you can just block people. And I'm guilty of this. Listen, I've done, like, I have failed in communication but on that platform and on others because of what I learned there and how that type of experience influenced me. And I'm really grateful for these other small spaces like the Mission Log Discord or, you know, other groups that I'm in, because they've helped me kind of recover from that experience and be able to have actual conversations again with people who disagree, because that is life. Like, you cannot live through this world blocking everybody who disagrees or who upsets you or pisses you off, especially if you're working with a lot of, you know, a lot of, I work by myself. So I have clients that I sometimes see, but I don't work in an office anymore. So my experience is different there. Whereas when I used to work in the office and I had this, you know, one coworker I really didn't like at all, and you still have to work with them. Like, you still have to find ways to navigate those relationships. And ultimately, you need to do it like as the best example of yourself you can be. Like, that's really what Star Trek is being the best version of ourselves, no matter what. Like, we all want to get there. And technically, according to Star Trek, it doesn't matter what you believe. It's that we are our very best selves.
Well, that's a good way of looking at it, I think. Excuse me. When you started doing Trektivism, was there anything in mind or in particular that you had that you thought of would be a personal goal for yourself?
That's a good question. I have to think about that. Because I don't think of myself.
Well, now's the time to think about yourself.
That's part of my problem in life. You know, I've been podcasting for a long time, and I take a lot of joy in it. My podcasting journey has been, again, not a long road. It's been a wild ride. And I think for me, it's also been about like finding a place where I really feel at home and very confident and comfortable in what I'm doing. And when the Trektivism stuff started happening, like out of Trek Talks came Trektivism. So there was this concept of Trektivism using the ideals of Star Trek to help bring about, you know, progress and social change, etc. It really struck me because I had already been kind of paying attention to the Roddenberry Foundation and looking at what they're doing, because a lot of people don't know anything about the Roddenberry Foundation and how they have fellowships. They have, you know, grants and prizes and all this cool stuff they do for the people that are doing the work of Star Trek. And I thought, how cool would it be to, again, bring those people front and center, and put them out there in the world and create a community for them, introduce them to fans. And so fans, you know, get to see that happening. I'm trying to figure out what this has to do with me. I don't know. I think that ultimately it's just, this is something that I am very, very passionate about. Like, as much as I like watching Star Trek and talking about an episode and enjoying that with other fans, I think that for me personally, it's just something that it's where my heart is. It's what I'm passionate about. And I really wanted to do everything I could to like bring a voice to the work that people do, because I don't think there's enough of that. And it's really hopeful stuff. And I think that right now we need hope more than ever. Like, we need to know that despite the stuff that we look at in the news and we want to run away from, that there's still a lot of good happening in the world. And the best way that I could do that is through Trektivism and the podcast. I had previously tried to work with Roddenberry Foundation, and what wound up coming out of that was their Boldly Go 100 campaign, which they did for Roddenberry's centennial birthday, and reached out to fans for like testimonial stories. Why do you love Star Trek? And I got to be kind of a consultant and then an ambassador for that. But that wasn't like, that was just a one-time thing. That wasn't something that I could continually pour my heart into. And so I kept pursuing it. And when I saw Trek Talks doing it, and then found out through Matthew that he had a similar idea. We were calling this Federation of Changemakers for a while because we believe that the people out there, you know, we're a federation of changemakers. We are the people doing that work. And so we just kind of came together and it was a perfect pair. And then all of this happened. I think that I wasn't expecting my life to change once again, and to put me in a position where I can't really do anything with Fans Give Back right now. So having this, I get to focus on Trektivism and making it the best it can be. And personally, I am very fulfilled by those things, because in that way, I am still able to pay it forward. And again, like to bring it back to, I really strive to lead by example, and I have made mistakes, as every human being does, but this to me is putting my best foot forward and doing work that I'm really passionate about and trying to uplift other people and bring the community hope.
Very well said.
Your passion is palpable.
Yeah. Yeah, it is. And you got in with the right group of people in the right crowd. I'm jealous.
We'll get there, Jay. We'll get there. You wait your turn.
I am very, very blessed. I have been in, I say, the Star Trek community. I wrote it on Facebook earlier. I went to a Star Trek convention in 2009 and it changed my life. That is literally what happened. I didn't grow up watching Star Trek. I found it later in life. Even then, I liked the show a lot, but it wasn't what it is to me today. It was meeting the people. And it was seeing a community. Even in that first year that I went to Star Trek Las Vegas, I remember feeling like an observer. Well, I always feel like an observer. I feel like I'm always watching the world around me and not always participating. But I remember just watching the relationships in front of me and like, oh, there's a community here. Like, these people must come every year. They must have these friendships that they've built. And I was like, I want that. How do I get that? And I just kept going back every year. Like, I got divorced, I kept going. And then I started running the Star Trek conventions experiences, Star Trek convention experiences, Facebook group there. It's a lot. Which at the time was the unofficial STLV Facebook group. And I just happened to know the person who ran it, and she needed a break. Mm-hmm. And so she asked if I wanted to admin, and I said, sure, why not? And so I did that for a while. And then, you know, then it's been like 6 years and I meet people who say, come on my podcast. And now I've got a pod. Now I've got a podcast about Star Trek convention called Shore Leave. Like, now I'm doing that. And then I meet Bill and Dan with Trek Geeks when they start coming to STLV. And I meet John Champion and previous host Ken Ray of Mission Log, who are always at STLV. And I just meet all these wonderful people in the community. And at this point, I'm very lucky that I've been friends with them for so long that they're family to me. And they were the ones that started doing Trek Talks and that work. And I said, okay, how can I be a part of it? What can I do? And I'm very blessed and lucky to have those types of friends. But the reality is the community, the Star Trek community is so, so big. And this is always something that's bothered me, because people look at the community no matter where you are, but especially with STLV, and say that it's clicky, and there are exclusive groups, and I'm not going to deny that it seems like that, but it's like you've got the Seventh Rule podcast group, and they've got a community built around their podcasts. Like, you can come be a part of that. I think there's still space, and I think that especially because a lot of us have been outcasted in life, that we already feel excluded, and we already have had such a hard time fitting in or feeling like we could have access to spaces, that we don't always try. And I'm not saying that every single group of friends out there is you know, inclusive of everybody. You know, it is what it is. Some places are more restrictive than others. But I think it's also about like trying out different places, finding a space where you fit, and or building a community around what you do, like your podcast.
Yeah, that's very true. And actually, it was in October. Oh my God, back in October, it's already 3 months back. I started getting into more of the fan film community in Star Trek. And Beyond Trek was approached by one of the guys. His name's Samuel Cockings, who in the fan film community is like one of the huge VFX guys. And I talked to him about his films, had a podcast interview, talking to him about that. And then as I started looking at the fan film sphere some more, I came across other really great guys. There's Vance Major, Frank Parker Jr. Let's see who else, Jonathan Lane, Joshua Irwin, just throw out a few names out there. And it's been a very welcoming, very fun community to be in. And for me, I think that it's good when you can find something that you can build yourself on. Because there are hundreds of Star Trek podcasts out there, and it really feels kind of defeating when you feel like everyone's doing it. There are so many. There's podcast fatigue. Like, who gets excited about a Star Trek podcast anymore? You've got some that will have a leg up over you than others, especially the ones where they happen to have an actor and I'm not pointing at any particular podcast, but as soon as an actor creates a podcast, it's instant thousands of views, instant all the subscribers, things like that. And it's kind of like, okay, well, then there's little us that's trying to carve that little tiny piece into it. And I'm sure that you probably get approached so much about doing podcasts that it has to eventually be kind of like another one.
I don't. I think that I know in my experience, I have always had these assumptive perceptions about other people and other podcasts and all the things they must be doing. And then I get involved and I find out, no, that's not true. Like, it's not always what you think. And that is the one thing that I tell anyone starting a podcast or any type of project in any community is, please do it because you are passionate about it, because you want to do it. Because frankly, it is really hard to build an audience, and even to create a community around what you do, that is hard work. Like, the only way that I had a Twitter account with a bunch of, you know, a high number of followers is because I practically lived on Twitter. And that's a little sad, to be honest, but through the pandemic, my job disappeared. Nobody wants a dog walker when you're working from home and no one was traveling. So I suddenly had all of this time on my hands, and I basically poured it into Twitter and like asking questions that would get engagement. Like, you know, what's your favorite episode? What's a comfort episode? I don't even remember all the stuff that I asked anymore. And then it largely became for me trying to build a community, because I feel like I've gone through, I've said previously, some really difficult periods of my life. And there were times when I didn't want to be here. And I have attempted to not be here. And I survived that, thankfully. And I am very fortunate and grateful to have had people in my life that made me feel like I should be here. It takes one person, literally one person, to be there to remind someone else that they have a place in this world. And so, especially through a pandemic, when we're isolated, stuck at home, and some of us not seeing a single human being for weeks on end, like that is no matter what mood you're in or life, where you're in your life, that's a terrible thing to have to experience. We are social creatures. And so I wanted to do what I could to try and connect people together. And so that's like I started the Trekkie Follow Friday hashtag. And one of the amazing, incredible things that happened because of that, back in October, I went to a wedding of two Trekkies that met through a Trekkie Follow Friday. Like, how cool. It was just, it was such a special, special thing. But again, it's hard. It takes a lot of time and commitment. And even now in the work I do, you know, like with Mission Log and our Discord and trying to look at ways to build a community, but also without like overexerting or overwhelming the community with all these new members so that it feels maybe less safe. Like that's something that I feel like we have to be really cognizant of when we build communities. So just always be excited and passionate about whatever project you're doing. Don't focus on the audience. I mean, sure, there are people that are out there wanting to create content to bring in money. And that's a different kind of hustle to me. Like, that's a bonus if you are successful enough that you make money. To me, I just want to enjoy myself and have fun and make those connections and be part of something. I think for me, it's, you know, wanting to be part of something, because so often in my life, I have not felt a part of things. But yeah, no, this is the first podcast I have done in months and months and months that I've been invited to. I don't otherwise don't do a whole lot.
I hope you know that Ramon keeps Follow Friday alive.
Well, that's great. I stay out there because, again, it just takes one person. And I have other friends who have started relationships because they found each other, like romantic relationships. So maybe we'll have another Trekkie wedding out there. But especially some of us, when we've known each other for years and we see our lives change, that is one blessing of social media, is that you get to experience that with people from all over the world by making those connections and then following their life and seeing it change.
It's funny you talk about the meeting people and people getting into relationships because of Star Trek. My fiance tells me that one of the pictures I had on Match, I was wearing just a red Star Trek shirt that had the, you know, the chevron on it. And she said that was one of the reasons she swiped right, because she saw that I was a Star Trek fan. And it's like, had I not been, and I, you know, part of me was thinking, why in the hell would I post publicly on like that, a Star Trek shirt? But the thing is that we shouldn't feel like we'd live in the closet of being Star Trek fans. You know, I mean, that's a thing that I think is a shame, because you still see that, I think. And like for me, that was kind of a knee jerk reaction to realizing, oh, shit, I kind of forgot that I put that picture on there, that I'm in a Star Trek shirt. And, you know, is it embarrassing or not? And we've got to get past that to be more open about it, because mm-hmm. you're doing things that are more open with Star Trek, with the Trektivism, the Trek talks, getting in there with things like Trek the Vote, because I will admit and I'll concede that Star Trek isn't mainstream like Star Wars is. Star Wars is just everywhere. And that's just an example. But with Star Trek, we try to do as well as what we've got. And I think that anyone who builds that community in their own space is putting in what, you know, the effort that they can. And I'm sorry to take up so much of the talking time, Dag. No. I should, yeah, really. When is he? Jesus. What time is it?
I've done all the talking. I have a DeLorean to catch, man.
It's all me. Listen, I'm going to take up the time now. Sorry, Dag. We could talk in a minute. Listen, and I don't know why I've always been this way, I try to live as authentically as I can. And while I do struggle with shame in certain aspects of my life, flying my nerd flag is not something that I've ever been afraid of doing. And I know that for so many Star Trek fans, us older fans, and even older than we are, going through, you know, elementary, middle school, high school, whatever, as a Star Trek nerd, you were made fun of. Like, that was a reality for so many people, is that not you were a nerd. And so you don't want to tell people you watch Star Trek. I know somebody who I went to high school with in the 90s who refused to talk about the fact that he was a Star Trek fan publicly because he was afraid of the shame of that. So he was, you know, Mr. Macho, whatever. No, to me, I think that being a fan of whatever is much cooler than it was. We see the same thing with comic books today. Comic books are a whole other level than what they would have been in the past, when you would have been bullied for being a comic book fan as well. So at least there's that greater acceptance. And I think that younger generations feel much more comfortable living authentically. But to me, like, I've got Star Trek tattoos. I've got Star Trek stuff on my car.
Oh, you're super serious about the Star Trek then.
Oh, yeah. Like, I've been single now for a year post-divorce. And I admittedly tried the Bumble app and Bumble, Hinge, and OkCupid, and lasted all of like days. It's just not... no longer my type of dating and the way that I want to date through the apps. But you bet I had a picture of me in my Star Trek uniform, because I need a nerd.
Good for, like, you.
Especially, yes, and especially with my life, the way that Star Trek, that I participate in the Star Trek community, that I am tied to that community and the things I do, like, you best know. Like, it takes a special person to understand that. And I have had issues in my relationships because people just didn't get it. So I need that nerd. Like, I need someone who at least recognizes. They could be a Star Wars nerd. They can be an anime nerd. Just somebody that understands, like, the element that it plays in my life, because it's at a level that's very different from a lot of people with their own fandoms.
Right on. Yeah. And what was I about to say? I had a thought there. Oh, so I was just going to say, I think I would challenge anyone to give me a more miserable experience than online dating, because it is. I know exactly what you mean. There have been different periods where I've used it, and it's just people treat each other pretty badly. It's just you think you're in a good conversation with someone, and then just nothing after some random point. And there's a lot of that stuff. And it was not surprising for you to say that those are things you gave up on, because I am sure that it's probably something that if it only went a few days, that you pretty quickly got what that experience is. And
it's not for me. I'm a person that wants to communicate. I don't just want to go by a picture, because for me, it's not necessarily about what a person looks like. It's about who they are and their energy and their passions and what they're excited about in life and then how well we get along. You can't get all that from a picture that you have to swipe on just to be able to communicate with somebody. And then I did some research and, well, I did TikTok research, but I did some research and a lot of people say that some of it might be intentional and that they're not pairing you with the people that they really should be pairing you with because they want you to pay to do that. And doesn't matter your gender. None of that matters. Everybody has to pay. Like, and I'm not going to pay for that. I'm not going to pay for a worse experience. And again, I still blame social media for changing the way that we communicate with each other and making us feel like human beings are disposable.
You know what's funny?
Like that.
This was something that I like seeing coming up with the trends and patterns of things that are happening to try to find some kind of commonality in it, if that is even a word. And one of the things that I noticed, and it happens every time with these online dating sites, is that when you're not paying, somehow you are getting all of these likes. You've got all these people looking at your profile. You've got all these matches. Then once you get sucked in and you pay for it, you see that all these matches are from like Nairobi, Russia, Poland.
Bots.
Yeah, bots. Yeah. People that you try to start a conversation with and it's ghosted, you get nothing. And then once you're a paying person, the likes you get actually go down. And then once you are not paying, they go back up. I've seen that trend, and I know I'm not crazy, but it was something that I noticed a pattern of, that they are wanting to entice you to pay for it. And I don't know all the algorithm stuff on the back end or whatnot. I just know that there seemed to be a high corroboration there that when you're not paying, that's when you're going to get the attention. And when you start paying, it's like, yeah, we got you.
The thing that spooks me about online dating is that if you start paying for it, you're essentially paying an algorithm to give you an evolutionary pressure to find a breeding partner.
To find a what partner?
A breeding partner.
Oh, a breeding partner.
Or at least someone you can practice breeding with. It's definitely just one of those things where it's like, the robots are matchmaking the humans. Who thought this was okay? Where is this person?
Yeah.
Yeah. It's not going to go well.
Yeah. So I recommend everyone go to a Star Trek convention or just go to places and meet people in person. But, you know, places where you celebrate those special interests is, you know, a good place. But in general, I also, regardless of whether you're dating or not, like I always say, go to a convention, go meet your people. And I don't care if it's a small convention. I don't care if it's Vegas, just to go. If it's something that you've never done, heck, go to meet up at a comic book store. I don't know. Just go meet other people and don't do it just once and decide that was the worst experience ever and you're never going to do it again. That just means you didn't find the right people. And you will in time. And once you find other people that are like you, it helps validate that you are normal. Well, not that we all want to be normal, but that there's nothing wrong with you. Like all the stuff put into our heads as kids or other people judging us and saying Star Trek is for, I grew up being told Star Trek was for boys. So I couldn't like Star Trek. And I was a sci-fi kid. Very early on, again, you know, raised as a girl, but that was a barrier. Like that kept me away from really diving into loving science fiction as a young person, which is awful, awful.
My mom got me into Trek when I was like the third season finale of TNG. So like 89, 90.
Props to the third women who love Trek.
And then, like, my husband and I met, randomly fell down the wagon of creative writing and started writing a Star Trek Lord of the Rings crossover, which 4 years later culminated in the most epic Star Trek Lord of the Rings themed wedding you could imagine. There's pictures on my Twitter, Trek Nexus. You can find them. It's God, what was the wedding hashtag for it? I forget what the hashtag was for, but it was the Boldly Wander Wedding. That's what it was. That was the hashtag for those photos. Because the theme was boldly wander, like boldly go, and also right. not all wander are lost. Mm-hmm. So boldly wander. And that's how I proposed. I was like, will you boldly wander with me?
Oh, as somebody who has like 5 Star Trek tattoos and 1 Lord of the Rings tattoo.
What's the Lord of the Rings tattoo? Not the ring tattoo.
The white. It's the White Tree of Gondor.
Oh, okay. Yeah, no, that's a big one here. White Tree of Gondor, Rivendell. Yeah, big here.
Yeah, mine is big. I have a thigh tattoo, big old tree. And then people are like, why do you have a tree on your leg?
Very cool. I know we're like 57 minutes into this, but were we going to, did we talk all we needed to talk about from the Hollywood Food Co. event?
Let me pop in really. Given this comes out relatively soon in the next few weeks or whatever. Yeah. Actually, I think that the link is eternal if I can find it.
Hollywood Food Co.
There is. I want to. So, yes, there's the hofoco.org. But we also have for Trek Talks, just in case anybody's feeling generous and wants to join the. How many donations did we have at this point? 500 supporters who raised $109,407. So there's a 47 in there. They're just separated by a zero. But they can go to givebutter.com. Oh, I guess it's /C. That's a whole confusing thing.
We'll throw it up in text and edit.
We'll do that. I'll send it to you. We'll do that.
On the YouTube channel.
Yes, send me the link if you would. And is that a persistent link? Because there's a couple of release commitments that I made. And so this one, by the time anyone's hearing and listening, is expected to be February 2nd. A few Fridays from now. So
it should still be there.
Hollywood
it should
Food be Co. has a direct donate line too as well. So
okay.
Yes, perfect. Either of those, but I love the Give Butter is the specific link that we used for this event to join everybody there. But yeah, that's that, and then we're gonna do it next year. And if you follow Trektivism. And it's just at Trektivism on, you know, X, Twitter, whatever, Instagram. We have a Facebook page. I threw up. Yeah, I've heard worse. I've heard, don't know if you do profanity, but.
Baby Twitter.
Yeah, I've heard worse. But I threw up a link because we are accepting applications for fan ambassadors for Trek Talks. And those are just people who will help us get the word out. So we will send along like some promotional ideas of what people can do. And we're asking people to just share the word, spread the word. And then you will get some special credit in the credits of the show when it premieres next year. But we just, you know, this was a tough year because of the strikes. We were very prohibited. We didn't even know if we were going to be able to have Trek Talks because we've been planning this all year. And especially like, you know, 6 months ago, we were like, I don't know what's going to happen here.
That and, show we can't say talks.
Yeah, exactly. We were, you know, we thought about postponing and thankfully everything worked out. And even though like a lot of the actors were back working again, so we couldn't get them for this year's telethon, they'll be back next year. But it still worked out, and we still raised more money than we have in previous years. And I believe mid-year, we're actually going to do some type of raffle, auction, giveaway, something. We have to figure out the correct legal way to do that. But we've got a lot of cool stuff to give away for donations. And so, yeah, stay tuned, because all the Trek Talk stuff will go out via Trektivism. Trektivism is kind of the catch-all for the podcast, for Trek Talks, for other stuff that may comes up. Like, we want the community to use, like, Trektivism is for everyone. We may have an official Trektivism podcast, but if people are out there like doing good work, then yeah, we want to hear about it because we also want people to come on the podcast. But yeah,
right on. That's good.
Followed you.
Awesome.
Thank you,
Heather. Thank you so much for coming and joining us. Was there anything, Heather, Dag, that you guys wanted to throw in before we wrap it up? Just want to make sure everyone got the chance to say what they wanted to say and all that. Make sure you didn't forget anything. Bueller, going once, going twice.
Follow me at Trek Nexus. heartburn. My bad.
Yeah. Follow Trektivism. Check out, so the Trektivism podcast is on all the podcast things. It's finally on Apple. Took a few days. But that's up there. And if you want to hear from me otherwise, whenever Strange New Worlds comes back, I'll be on Mission Log Live for Strange New Worlds. And where our Discord is a Patreon perk. So you do have to become a patron to get access to our Discord, but that is where I hang out these days, and it's only $1. But I don't want to also take away from having people join. If you guys have a Discord or a Patreon, then I also want people to come and support you as well.
I appreciate that. That is awesome. And for anyone that's listening, not able to see the actual link that we have at the bottom, starfleetpodcast.net/beyondtrek is where you can find Beyond Trek Podcast. If you didn't know before, you know now. So find us there on all of our socials and get out there and do what you can. Vote, donate, spread the word. And Heather, you're doing some great stuff. So keep it up. Keep going with it and go boldly where no man has gone before. No man, woman, person. Yes. Okay. I screwed up the outro again.
Yeah, no, it's supposed to be. Thank you for always going boldly with Beyond Trek Podcast.
There you go.
If you enjoyed this podcast, you can support us at patreon.com/beyondtrek.
We are Beyond Trek Podcast. Lower your inhibitions and surrender your years. We will add inspirational and hilarious Trek content to your day. Your attention will adapt to subscribe to us. Resistance is futile.